palm tendons, and tip sensitivity. She turned away. Come, into the tent, now. He flexed the fingers of his left hand, watching her crawl through the sphincter valve, knowing that he could not deflect her from this determination, that he must agree. Whatever has been done to me, I've been a party to it, he thought. Review of the hand. He looked at his hand. How inadequate it appeared when measured against such creatures as that worm. We came from Caladan, a paradise world for our form of life. There existed no need on Caladan to build a physical paradise, or a paradise of the mind. We could see the actuality all around us. And the price we paid was the price men have always paid for achieving a paradise in this life. We went soft. We lost our edge. From Muad'Dib Conversations by the Princess Irulan.
So you're the great Gurney Halleck, the man said.
Halleck stood staring across the round cavern office at the smuggler seated behind a metal desk. The man wore Fremen robes and had the half-tint blue eyes that told of off-planet foods in his diet. The office duplicated a space frigate's master control center. Communications and view screens along a 30-degree arc of wall, remote arming and firing banks adjoining, and the desk formed as a wall projection, part of the remaining curve.
I am Staben Tuik, son of Esmar Tuik, the smuggler said.
Then you're the one I owe thanks for the help we've received, Halleck said.
Ah, gratitude, the smuggler said. Sit down.
A ship-type bucket seat emerged from the wall beside the screens, and Halleck sank onto it with a sigh, feeling his weariness. He could see his own reflection now in a dark surface beside the smuggler, and scowled at the lines of fatigue in his lumpy face. The ink-vine scar along his jaw writhed with the scowl. Halleck turned from his reflection, stared at Tuik. He saw the family resemblance in the smuggler now, the father's heavy, overhanging eyebrows and rock planes of cheeks and nose.
"Your men tell me your father is dead, killed by the Harkonnens," Halleck said.
"By the Harkonnens, or by a traitor among your people?" Tuik said.
Anger overcame part of Halleck's fatigue. He straightened, said,
"Can you name the traitor?" "We are not sure."
"Thufir Hawat suspected the Lady Jessica."
"Ah, the Bene Gesserit witch. Perhaps. But Hawat is now a Harkonnen captive."
"I heard," Halleck took a deep breath.
"It appears we've a deal more killing ahead of us."
"We will do nothing to attract attention to us," Tuik said.
Halleck stiffened.
"But you and those of your men we've saved are welcome to sanctuary among us," Tuik said. "You speak of gratitude. Very well. Work off your debt to us. We can always use good men. We'll destroy you out of hand, though, if you make the slightest open move against the Harkonnens."
"But they killed your father, man!"
"Perhaps. And if so, I'll give you my father's answer to those who act without thinking. A stone is heavy, and the sand is weighty, but a fool's wrath is heavier than them both."
"You mean to do nothing about it, then?" Halleck sneered.
"You did not hear me say that. I merely say I will protect our contract with the Guild. The Guild requires that we play a circumspect game. There are other ways of destroying a foe."
"Ah!
Ah, indeed. If you've a mind to seek out the witch, have at it. But I warn you that you're probably too late, and we doubt she's the one you want anyway."
"Hawat made few mistakes.
He allowed himself to fall into Harkonnen hands."
"You think he's the traitor?"
Tuik shrugged.
"This is academic. We think the witch is dead. At least the Harkonnens believe it."
"You seem to know a great deal about the Harkonnens."
"Hints and suggestions. Rumors and hunches."
"We are 74 men," Halleck said. "If you seriously wish us to enlist with you, you must believe our Duke is dead."
"His body has been seen."
"And the boy, too, young Master Paul?"
Halleck tried to swallow, found a lump in his throat.
"According to the last word we had, he was lost with his mother in a desert storm. Likely not even their bones will ever be found."
"So the witch is dead, then. All dead."
Tuik nodded.
"And Beast Raban, so they say, will sit once more in the seat of power here on Dune."
"The Count Raban of Lankavale?"
"Yes."
It took Halleck a moment to put down the upsurge of rage that threatened to overcome him. He spoke with panting breath.
"I've a score of my own against Raban. I owe him for the lives of my family.
He rubbed the scar along his jaw.
And for this, one does not risk everything to settle a score prematurely,
Tuek said. He frowned, watching the play of muscles along Halleck's jaw, the sudden withdrawal in the man's shed-lidded eyes.
I know, I know.
Halleck took a deep breath.
You and your men can work out your passage off Arrakis by serving with us. There are many places to... I release my men from any bond to me. They can choose for themselves. With Raban here, I stay. In your mood, I'm not sure we want you to stay.
Halleck stared at the smuggler.
You doubt my word? No, you've saved me from the Harkonnens. I gave loyalty to the Duke Leto for no greater reason. I'll stay on Arrakis, with you, or with the Fremen. Whether a thought is spoken or not, it is a real thing, and it has power,
Tuek said.
You might find the line between life and death among the Fremen to be too sharp and quick.
Halleck closed his eyes briefly, feeling the weariness surge up in him.
Where is the Lord who led us through the land of deserts and of pits?
He murmured.
Move slowly, and the day of your revenge will come,
Tuek said.
Speed is a device of Shaitan. Cool your sorrow. We've the diversions for it. Three things there are that ease the heart: water, green grass, and the beauty of woman.
Halleck opened his eyes.
I would prefer the blood of Raban Harkonnen flowing about my feet.
He stared at Tuek.
You think that day will come? I have little to do with how you'll meet tomorrow, Gurney Halleck. I can only help you meet today.
Then I'll accept that help and stay until the day you tell me to revenge your father and all the others who...
Listen to me, fighting man,
Tuek said. He leaned forward over his desk, his shoulders level with his ears, eyes intent. The smuggler's face was suddenly like weathered stone.
My father's water. I'll buy that back myself, with my own blade.
Halleck stared back at Tuek. In that moment, the smuggler reminded him of Duke Leto. A leader of men, courageous, secure in his own position and his own course. He was like the Duke before Arrakis.
Do you wish my blade beside you?
Halleck asked. Tuek sat back, relaxed, studying Halleck silently.
Do you think of me as fighting man?
Halleck pressed.
You're the only one of the Duke's lieutenants to escape,
Tuek said.
Your enemy was overwhelming, yet you rolled with him. You defeated him the way we defeat Arrakis.
Eh?
We live on sufferance down here, Gurney Halleck,
Tuek said.
Arrakis is our enemy.
One enemy at a time, is that it?
That's it.
Is that the way the Fremen make out?
Perhaps.
You said I might find life with the Fremen too tough. They live in the desert, in the open. Is that why?
Who knows where the Fremen live? For us, the Central Plateau was a no-man's land.
But I wish to talk more about... I'm told that the Guild seldom routes spice lighters in over the desert,
Halleck said.
But there are rumors that you can see bits of greenery here and there if you know where to look.
Rumors,
Tuek sneered.
Do you wish to choose now between me and the Fremen? We have a measure of security, our own seats carved out of the rock, our own hidden basins. We live the lives of civilized men. The Fremen are a few ragged bands that we use as spice hunters.
But they can kill Harkonnens.
And do you wish to know the result? Even now they are being hunted down like animals, with laser guns, because they have no shields. They are being exterminated.
Why?
Because they killed Harkonnens.
Was it Harkonnens they killed?
Halleck asked.
What do you mean?
Haven't you heard that there may have been Sardaukar with the Harkonnens?
More rumors.
But a pogrom, that isn't like the Harkonnens. A pogrom is wasteful.
I believe what I see with my own eyes,
Tuek said.
Make your choice, fighting man, me or the Fremen. I will promise you sanctuary and a chance to draw the blood we both want. Be sure of that. The Fremen will offer you only the life of the hunted.
Halleck hesitated, sensing wisdom and sympathy in Tuek's words, yet troubled for no reason he could explain.
Trust your own abilities, Tuek said. Whose decisions brought your force through the battle?
Yours.
Decide.
It must be, Halleck said.
The Duke and his son are dead?
The Harkonnens believe it. Where such things are concerned, I incline to trust the Harkonnens.
A grim smile touched Tuek's mouth.
but it's about the only trust I give them."
"Then it must be," Halleck repeated. He held out his right hand, palm up and thumb folded flat against it in the traditional gesture.
"I give you my sword."
"Accepted."
"Do you wish me to persuade my men?"
"You'd let them make their own decision?"
"They've followed me this far, but most are Caladan-born. Arrakis isn't what they thought it'd be. Here they've lost everything except their lives. I'd prefer they decided for themselves now."
"Now is no time for you to falter," Tuak said. "They've followed you this far.
You need them, is that it?
We can always use experienced fighting men, in these times more than ever.
You've accepted my sword. Do you wish me to persuade them?"
"I think they'll follow you, Gurney Halleck."
"'Tis to be hoped."
"Indeed."
"I may make my own decision in this, then."
"Your own decision."
Halleck pushed himself up from the bucket seat, feeling how much of his reserve strength even that small effort required.
"For now, I'll see to their quarters and well-being," he said.
"Consult my quartermaster," Tuak said.
"Drisk is his name. Tell him it's my wish that you receive every courtesy. I'll join you myself presently. I've some off-shipments of spice to see to first."
"Fortune passes everywhere," Halleck said.
"Everywhere," Tuak said.
"A time of upset is a rare opportunity for our business."
Halleck nodded, heard the faint susurration, and felt the air shift as a lockport swung open beside him. He turned, ducked through it, and out of the office. He found himself in the assembly hall through which he and his men had been led by two ex-aides. It was a long, fairly narrow area, chewed out of the native rock, its smooth surface betraying the use of cut-array burners for the job. The ceiling stretched away high enough to continue the natural supporting curve of the rock and to permit internal air convection currents. Weapons racks and lockers lined the walls. Halleck noted with a touch of pride that those of his men still able to stand were standing. No relaxation in weariness and defeat for them. Smuggler medics were moving among them, tending the wounded. Litter cases were assembled in one area down to the left, each wounded man with an Atreides companion. The Atreides training,
"We care for our own,"
it held like a core of native rock in them, Halleck noted. One of his lieutenants stepped forward, carrying Halleck's 9-string ballast out of its case. The man snapped a salute, said,
"Sir, the medics here say there's no hope for Matai. They have no bone and organ banks here, only outpost medicine. Matai can't last, they say, and he has a request of you."
"What is it?"
The lieutenant thrust the ballast forward.
"Matai wants a song to ease his going, sir. He says you'll know the one. He's asked it of you often enough."
The lieutenant swallowed.
"It's the one called My Woman, sir. If you..."
"I know."
Halleck took the ballast, flicked the multi-pick out of its catch on the fingerboard. He drew a soft chord from the instrument, found that someone had already tuned it. There was a burning in his eyes, but he drove that out of his thoughts as he strolled forward, strumming the tune, forcing himself to smile casually. Several of his men and a smuggler medic were bent over one of the litters. One of the men began singing softly as Halleck approached, catching the counterbeat with the ease of long familiarity.
"My woman stands at her window, curved lines against square glass, upraised arms, bent, downfolded, against sunset red and golded. Come to me, warm arms of my lass, for me, the warm arms of my lass."
The singer stopped, reached out a bandaged arm, and closed the eyelids of the man on the litter. Halleck drew a final soft chord from the ballast, thinking, "Now we are 73.
Family life of the Royal Creche is difficult for many people to understand, but I shall try to give you a capsule view of it. My father had only one real friend, I think. That was Count Hasimir Fenring, the genetic eunuch and one of the deadliest fighters in the Imperium. The Count, a dapper and ugly little man, brought a new slave concubine to my father one day, and I was dispatched by my mother to spy on the proceedings. All of us spied on my father as a matter of self-protection. One of the slave concubines permitted my father, under the Bene Gesserit Guild agreement, could not, of course, bear a royal successor, but the intrigues were constant and oppressive in their similarity. We became adept, my mother and sisters and I, at avoiding subtle instruments of death. It may seem a dreadful thing to say, but I'm not at all sure my father was innocent in all these attempts. A royal family is not like other families.